from the Hebrew Testament, Psalm 118, the first six verses. Last week we spoke about Psalm 18, but what came later. And this morning I want to invite all of you, it will be projected on the screen, if we could all read Psalm 118 together, the first six verses. Thank God because He's good.
Because His love never quits. Tell the world His love never quits. And you proclaim, Aaron, tell the world His love never quits. And you who fear God, join in. His love never quits. Push to the wall, I call to God. From the wide open spaces, He answered. God's now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me?
And then our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. And Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, imagine the voice. Jesus said, "Mary?" Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, "I saw the Master," and she told them everything he said to her. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that the words that we just read would resonate into our hearts as we open our lives for God to speak to us through scripture this very morning. When you entered the sanctuary this morning, did you sense the fragrance of the lilies? And did you have an opportunity to look around and to enjoy the tender beauty all around us? Now, Easter lilies for us are silent witnesses to the heart of our Christian faith. It is indeed Easter again. Today, Christians across the world are greeting one another with confirmations of faith in a living Christ. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. No matter how diverse and often contradictory the different understandings of Christianity of the first Easter might be, we are all bound together by a common faith in Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Now, Easter is a good time for Christians to witness, to think, or to talk about death and to discuss life after death. Now, all Christianity agrees on the eternal nature of the life and message of Jesus Christ. The mystery of life and death and life after death, sad to say, remains a complete mystery to this day. Martin Luther, the Protestant church reformer, expressed our not knowing about the details of an afterlife with a particularly appropriate analogy. Luther said, "We can know as much about life beyond death as an unborn baby traveling down the birth canal, and about to be born can know about the world it is about to enter." This is so rich. This is so full. I'm going to repeat it. Martin Luther said, "We can know as much about life beyond death as an unborn baby traveling down the birth canal, and about to be born can know about the world it is about to enter." If anyone tells you different, tell him I say. They're wrong. This is what we know. Much as that. Nothing. Yet Luther's comparison affirms his belief that there is something, something, something at the end of the journey. And in the midst of this uncertainty, we can be confident of one thing. When you and I die, we do not die into nothingness, but we die into God. We do not know a single assurance. When I die, I will not die into nothingness. I will die into God. Thank God. But there are things that we can know. We can know what salvation means on this side of the grave, in this life. At the center of the biblical understanding of salvation is a relationship with God in the presence. And God's gifts are freedom, joy, peace, love. With fruits are compassion and justice. And if love is for us, a selfish, let me save my own little hide, and we do not understand the message of compassion and justice to a dying world, then we must stop our greed, and we must listen to the still voice of God calling us towards the kingdom where compassion will rule, where justice will be the precondition. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to have a true and steadfast relationship with God. Now, in the past few months, we had the privilege of what I can call, without fear of contradiction, the God-inspired guidance of Dr. Bobby that opened many eyes as to read the reality of God's presence in all our lives, no exceptions. And for many amongst us, God became real, anew, if not for the first time. The unending invitation of the Christian message is to enter into a relationship in which our healing and wholeness can be found. That relationship which transforms us by beginning to heal the wounds of existence and makes our lives in the here and now a life with God. To make your life and my life in the here and now a life with God. You don't have to wait. The Bible describes different incidents of how difficult it was then. And many in our time will tell you that it still is not easy to come to grips with the concept of a risen Christ. And if you live in the shelter of the four walls of a sanctuary, you would say, oh, it's easy. That's it. Go out into the world, my friend. Face the reality of the world that you are and I are called to live in and to witness in. It is not easy to come to grips with the concept of a risen Christ. And the biblical stories started telling us about that. It began with a follower who knew Jesus so well, Thomas. I will never believe. None of it. He wouldn't have it. He needed to see before he could believe. Happened with the Emmaus walkers. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. They walked away from Jerusalem. Jesus was dead. It's over. They back to where they came from. Somehow they had to be jolted to life to turn around and to approach Jerusalem again. They only became aware when Jesus broke the bread in their midst, as we're going to break it this morning. They only recognized Jesus in the broken bread, and then Scripture got meaning for them, and then it became a reality. It happened with the weeping Mary by the graveside of Jesus, until suddenly, out of the quiet morning, there came a voice, Mary. Mary, imagine, it was the sound of the voice, not the sound of her name. And suddenly she knew, death cannot hold him. And the light shone through. And then she understood, then she knew. What did she say? Rabboni, Rabboni, teacher. Now I know, now I understand. And Mary would never doubt again. Have you seen with your spiritual eyes who the living Christ really is? Friend, I charge you in God's name, have you ever had a Rabboni moment in your life? A moment that you made a discovery for yourself, for yourself, for yourself. The moment that the darkness dissipated and you understood. And from that moment you knew with all your heart, Rabboni, Jesus, my teacher. It's still vivid in my memory, and many of yours. Oh, how precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Oh, yes. I've seen. And I know my Lord. And while the mystery of life and death still remains a mystery for our mortal minds, you and I can celebrate Easter with all our hearts. As children we used to sing, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know He lives? I know. You see, He lives in my heart. I'll be honest with you, in person, I've never seen the Lord. But in faith, Praise God. Again and again and again. It is Easter. Amen.